Second and 11 for the Texans from their 4 following the 5-yard penalty. Carr back to pass in the end zone. This time brought down for a safety. Did he fumble it? And are they going to call it a touchdown? Yes. Raylee Johnson recovers a fumble for a touchdown. Carr coughed it up. And San Diego gets 6 via the defense.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Let that be a warning to you, David Carr, and to anyone else who says they're coming on the DDFP and then backs out. For whatever reason, David Carr, all right, fine. Family's around. He can't make the show. We thought he was going to be in here. And that's the punishment. I am not going to say he won't ultimately wind up on the Digital Wall of Fame here in Studio 66. But keep pushing your luck, friend. That's where you're going to find yourself, or where you're not going to find your jersey. Number 8 hanging on our wall. Anywho, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in 66, no David Carr, but we are still handsome because seated to my immediate left, all the way from London, England, our resident Miami Dolphins fan, it is Handsome Hank. Oh, turn it up. Yeah, there you go.
He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank
are you?
Dave. And I'm glad that I've turned up today, because I would hate to be treated the same way that you treated David Carr. By the way, he deserves it.
Nothing I dislike more than doing a show by myself, which may seem weird.
You've done it before. I can remember listening to one, and you actually, congratulations, you were able to fill 60 minutes with you talking and arguing and debating with yourself.
At minimum, you know, people will say there are a lot of program directors in this line of work who say, no, people tune in to hear the host. They don't want to hear the people behind the glass.
Right.
I say,
not true of the DDF.
Well, by the way, have those program directors heard a show called Howard Stern? I mean, what was that show based around? You know, Dan Patrick has a nice show going by Kibitzin with his guys and so on and so forth. Speaking of which, hi and hello to you, Eddie Spaghetti.
What's going on, guys?
Oh.
Hi, Eddie.
You're that down about David Carr's absence? You were
David
that excited
Carr,
to see him?
David Carr, well, I was, actually. I had a lot of rundown topics related to him.
Yeah, me too.
Did. But, yeah, it was exciting.
We will see him early next week, so fans, just be ready for that.
All right, and we'll also see one of our favorite comedians and a Pittsburgh native, too, Steve Byrne. Great documentary out right now, and so we'll talk to him about that next week. We have much lined up for you, but in David Carr's absence, Handsome Hank, I've decided impromptu, because we are nimble, if nothing else, here on the DDFP.
That's for sure.
It is time for our annual, or we've never done it before, so it's the inaugural uniform update NFL 2019. Spaghetti,
I feel like there's a better name for it.
I agree. Spaghetti, get some cool music in there before I do it. Like, ready? Here we go. It's time for the 2019 NFL wardrobe update. Oh, there we go. Now
it's an event.
We're cooking with gas.
Hey, Dave, before we get into that,
we have some other issues.
Well, I want to issue an apology.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys remember, but a few weeks ago, we were here with our former friend, who I haven't seen in a long time, so I think he is almost a former friend now, Matt Money Smith.
Yes.
And
yes.
We talked about pickles.
Oh, right.
We talked about pickles on the show.
This is one of the great scandals that, fortunately for you, up to this. I see you're a man of honor because you brought it up.
I brought it up. I want to make sure that I close the loop here. So we talked about pickles, and then I think then Eddie, you know, does a fabulous job of promoting the show, then to cut out the best part of the show, which, you know, we talked for an hour and a half supposedly about football, but the best 30 seconds was about pickles. I then, with my limited social media influence, discovered that actually a pickle manufacturer was willing to send me more pickles for no apparent reason. So McClure's Pickles, which, by the way, are excellent, delivered me a box of pickles for me just to try. Because
I don't think they sent them for you to try.
No, well, that's the problem. But the reason that the reason they sent me in the first place was because I like pickles.
Right.
They sent me pickles.
You know who else likes pickles?
They sent me pickles to my home. Guess what happened
Eddie
to the
Spaghetti,
pickles?
Matt Money Smith, and I like pickles too.
Right. Guess what happened to the pickles when they sent them to my house?
You and your kin ate them.
Correct. So McClure's Pickles sent me some garlic and dill pickles, some spicy pickles, and then bread and butter pickles, which you guys had sort of poo-pooed before.
Yeah, not my favorite.
And
I'd like
so
the garlic
immediately
or spicy,
I got them, had to open them, try one of each of them. They're all delicious. I then told you guys that I'd finished them. I actually hadn't finished them all. I have three jars of pickles that I intended to bring in today, but because my brain doesn't work as effectively as it should do, I forgot them. So let's make a date for next week to try the pickles live on the show. McClure's Pickles. Well, I rank them. I don't necessarily want to give that away now. And then we can discuss what we think of pickles.
See,
I
can
only
the right
eat
spirit.
Them on an In-N-Out burger, though. So I'm going to have to go down the street on Venice, grab an In-N-Out double-double.
I'll tell you what, Eddie, if you're going to do that, get four of them.
I will.
By the way, that is perhaps in the top three most controversial Shecky Award winners in the history of the Shecky Awards. And that's saying something. I once named, say, half a decade ago, I declared the best condiment that year. Pickles, sliced pickles on a burger, and the Czech Republic went wild with anger.
It could have been fruit of the year.
Well, it could have been, yeah.
I think a pickle counts as a fruit because a cucumber has its seeds inside of it. Isn't that what makes a fruit a fruit?
I don't know. I think I apply common sense rather than
me too.
But
in theory,
technical
it's eligible
standards.
For that award.
Yeah, like I don't consider the cucumber, no matter what you tell me. It's a vegetable.
What if I pickle it for you?
Well, then I'll eat it. I know that much. And it might win Condiment of the Year 2019 if it plays its cards right. So anyway, before we get into our uniform business here, Handsome, a couple of things that have happened in pro football. Let's react to those.
Sure.
Right now, first of all, pass interference rule updated. The officials can now review PI after the two-minute warning and during OT. How say you?
I mean, isn't this... Wait, what changed? Didn't they already do this?
Spaghetti.
What's new here, Eddie? What are you telling us that's new?
That every pass play could be reviewed by the officials under 2 minutes, like past two-minute warning, or and every pass in overtime.
As opposed to what... Is this a technical distinction that it's been codified or something?
I thought this
The NFL Competition Committee unanimously recommended the rule for instant replay of pass interference for this season only. The league announced Thursday. This comes exactly 1 week after the league announced teams had a week to provide additional feedback on the final rule. According to final rule, pass interference reviews after the two-minute warning of each half and during overtime will be initiated by the replay official. The replay official will only stop the game when there is clear and obvious visual evidence that a pass interference penalty may or may have not occurred.
Yeah, I get it. So it's the same as we've been discussing a couple months ago.
I'd rather have a can of pickles than a can of worms, and the can of worms that looms is clear that it...
clear pass interference is getting... Because if you're an official and you didn't call it pass interference, you don't believe it's clear pass interference.
It's going to lead to some wonky stuff because... There's PI that it's like the old thing people used to say 25 years ago, and rightly, that you could call holding on pretty much every play. I also feel like you could call PI on virtually every play. And so if you start as an aggrieved coach or otherwise and start saying, you got to look at that. You know, I can't throw the red flag, but you guys have to look at that. They're going to feel compelled to look at it. And when they look at it, they're almost invariably, it feels like, going to see PI because there is constant
right.
physical.
There's going to be some contact. And you remember, like, the same rule or the same idea around the rules of the helmet-to-helmet contact last year. They over-officiated it during the preseason and early in the season, and then things went back to normal. And I feel like it'll be the same. It'll go the same way when they realize that it's going to slow the game down a lot. And the NFL, as much as it wants this rule to go through, one of the other things that the league is really trying hard at is let's try and not slow the games down. Let's see if we can get them under 3 hours or close to 3 hours.
Right. And then also, I mean, for what it's worth, aside from the express cynicism, it does obviously mean that the NFC title game would have yielded the Saints as your champion. And then, as I've also said, in week 16, the Steelers would have gone to the playoffs had they called the appropriately voided the PI call against Joe Hayden and against Michael Thomas. The Steelers would have made the playoffs. Antonio Brown wouldn't have had a fight with Ben Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown would still be on the Steelers right now. So those are two in recent vintage. Are there other games that you can recall that have been affected by a non-call on that level?
Pass interference. Nothing as much as those ones. I mean, I think all those catches that would have been catches in on reflection,
yeah,
we talked about those a year ago, but with PI, I mean, but like you say, because it depends on the interpretation of the rule. You know, any of the big plays through history. Now you look back and go, okay, well, maybe that.
It's more about the reversal. The ones, yeah, that I'm thinking of is like people always talk about, or Seahawks fans around Super Bowl 40. What was their pass catcher's name who caught a touchdown and then they voided it because he pushed off in the back of the end zone?
Was it like Jeremy Stevens?
No, it was not Jeremy Stevens. It was Darryl.
I know the one you mean.
I'm ashamed. I can't think of his name. Usually when I can think of his number, I'll get the name. Those people will show up. But I don't think they could have reversed that one. Anyhow, next subject, Handsome Hank. The Tampa Bay Rays, and this does apply to football, even though it starts out as a baseball story, the Rays may play next season half in Tampa, where nobody shows up for their games, and it's, mm-hmm, a garbage stadium and so on, and they've been competitive over the years, and that has not been enough to engage the locals on a regular basis, and people still pine, our pal Jonah Carey primarily, for a team in Montreal. And, you know, the Expos, obviously, since they ditched town.
They expoed themselves, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Well done.
Am I the first one to have said that?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
Expoed Canada. What would happen if, because people keep talking about it, and there's no one better really to talk to that I can think of, short of one Kamish Goodell, than Handsome Hank, king of international football. Is that your title?
No.
Czar?
No.
What is it?
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Why is that a secret?
Well,
it's not interesting
to people.
He's being coy and modest, I think. What is it?
Eddie, you interested?
I want you to be, for your own sake, I want you to start going by International Czar. Do that. Will you do that?
Okay, I'll do it for you.
I look at Hank as like the quarterback of NFL media. That's the role I give him.
Nah, he doesn't have a good enough arm. So what would
I
you...
have got a I have, and I've said it before.
I know you.
Apart from the ex-professional quarterbacks in this,
it's a shame. Then when we took David Carr and Cole Wright outside to see who
David
had the
Carr
more.
Is an ex-professional football player.
I know,
David
but
Carr's
they have.
So hard.
But the game, but the test there was who has a more versatile arm: football QB, baseball pitcher.
Or
cricket, whatever that's called.
Right.
Thrower.
Yeah.
Is it pitcher as well?
Bowler.
Makes as much sense as pitcher does. Where that one came from. Pitch. You know? We don't talk enough about that. Where's down come from? First down. Why isn't it first play, second play? Why first down? You know? Oh, I know why. Because it's from a line of scrimmage. And so
you're down.
The ball is down. The ball is down.
Yeah,
right. You're
but some people discuss that and they're like, okay, yeah, we'll call it a down. But then probably a week later, they're like, we should have gone with
my biggest
or go or whatever.
My biggest grievance there. Well, also run. Where'd run come from in baseball? Do you have runs in cricket?
Yeah.
So we stole that from you probably.
Yeah.
Because
cricket, you do actually run. In cricket, that is almost
it's
the only
run
that anyone does run.
Okay, I'll buy that. The one that looms now still for me, without any good explanation, is applying the word safety to two football players.
One of them makes perfect sense.
The
position makes sense. He's the last player in theory.
Right.
He's your safety net.
Last line of defense.
If he doesn't make the tackle, your safety's gone. But tackling someone in an end zone is actually unsafe.
Right. And then, of course, you have two tackles, which I guess is like offensive tackle, defensive tackle.
Right.
But on offense, by definition, if you tackle somebody, you're going to get a penalty.
That's going to be a holding penalty.
So why would you build into the name?
Right.
That's
the very thing they're not supposed to do.
Right. Weird nomenclature. don't do what your job title says, describes you as.
Yeah. On the other hand, the guy right next door to you is a guard. He has to guard the quarterback. He's doing the right thing.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Right. Now, safety, as you say, the other one, why when they were writing up the rule book, somebody said, well, we already use safety.
Yeah.
Not since the grape and grapefruit scandal of, I think when they named fruit was like 1975-ish, somewhere around there, when they gave it, when they discovered the grapefruit and redundantly gave it the name of a fruit that already had it. But safety, why didn't anybody raise a hand and say, whoa, what are we
already got
here,
that.
Guys? We already have one called safety. And secondly, and perhaps more importantly, there's nothing safe about a giant person falling on me in the end zone for two.
They should have called it, if they got a redo now, they should call it whoopsie. Like, whoopsie.
A whoopsie. One thing.
Because everything about a safety, like, if you get a safety, something kind of went wrong.
Here's the thing. And you know what? Maybe putting two and two together here, they realized the laziness of calling that play the 2-point play in your own end zone a safety. They mitigated it by creating the most exotic of all official calls in any sport, I dare say, the safety. The hands over the head.
But again, like, you're wasting that. That's a fantastic move.
Yeah.
Why do we only get that like 4 times a season?
That's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, let's do that for field goals.
But it really is. It's like discovering gold at the end of the rainbow for me. Yeah. Do it. He's in the end zone. That's 2 points. I don't care as much about the 2 points for my team as I do seeing the official do this. You know, and the players run towards the official. Hopefully,
like that. Yeah.
Do it.
It's a whoopsie.
We did it. It's a whoopsie. We'll work on a name. In fact,
we're not working on it.
Let's task.
Whoopsie works.
Let's task. Not, well, I mean, listen, it's fine.
Come
it's
up
a
with
good
a better one.
It's a good
Dave.
Starting plot. It's a good starting point. I will now float out there for the Czech Republic. Now, come up with a good name for us. Hashtag. Well, just use the hashtag DDFP if you wouldn't. Drop us a line. What should we call the safety? And then we can campaign Kamish Goodell.
Yep.
I mean, you're the international czar, after all.
Sure.
Your words carry some weight around.
So wait, you started asking me a question 17 minutes ago.
About what?
The Rays.
I don't know what it was going to be.
Oh,
about.
That was my question. Yes,
Montreal
yes.
and Tampa.
My question is, handsome.
How did we get into all that stuff in between?
I don't know. But I do think it's an interesting aspect of, as you know, the NFL, surely all of this... What's gone on? When was the first game that counted in London? Regular season.
The first game that counted was in 2007. The New York Giants.
I was going to say 10 years
Dolphins.
Ago. Okay, so a dozen years ago. So all of this feels to me like prelude to eventually on the big blue marble team being outside
international
the
national teams for sure.
Right. Right. That this is all a build up to that. And I would assume that practically Mexico City makes more sense, or Toronto. One of those two, or both of those, than London, because of the practical difficulty of a London team. They'd be kind of behind the eight ball, or no? Dude, what do you know about it? You must know about that as somebody who legitimately travels anecdotally, and then you must study that. Isn't that the obstacle? It's like, what? There's no way around the fact that a London team playing half its game stateside is going to put them behind the eight ball.
I don't think the travel part of it. There's a couple scenarios where travel is a problem. I think there's easily ways. You see it when teams come and play. I think the Steelers did it last year. When teams come and play on the West Coast and they play back-to-back games,
they stay, right?
They set themselves up somewhere. So if there was a team in London, or probably Mexico, maybe put Toronto aside, they would probably have a base in the U.S. that would be...
That makes sense.
And then the schedulers, who do all kinds of amazing things to account for Taylor Swift concerts and whatever... would schedule them so that they played, you know, maybe a 3-game road trip and could be based out of a...
Well, what about
US
this? What about
home?
Doing using but, this same model and say the Jaguars, just because their name was always floated in that and they seem to embrace the London experience as much as any team, or more than any other NFL team. What about that as a solution? The Jags
they're now
the Jacksonville London Jaguars.
I can't speak to whether that's what their plan is, but they...
I'm not asking you if that is, but if you want to break that news, go ahead.
No, I can't. But that but that is what they could do, or any team could do, is they could base themselves sometime in the US, so they have a home base here, and then they play their home games in London and road games in the US with a so the two places they would, you know, it's hard to get past is number one, playoffs, right? You can't, that's when the schedule doesn't.
And that would be the solution. If you could do that, the only problem then I would see. If you split time, if you said you were the London Jacksonville,
yeah,
as a for instance,
okay, yeah, yeah. So if you play, if you actually
and then your playoff
split,
games were played stateside, that makes sense.
Yes, yeah, but that's not great for your fans in London who've supported you for the whatever it would be 4 to 6 to 8 games that you've played.
No, I agree, but I also think those people would be so engaged in the regular season that they so crave pro football that matters on a regular basis that they would be so into it. The fan base I would be more concerned about are the Jacksonville people or wherever else. They'd be like, right, well, you've been playing half your games elsewhere.
Yeah, the flip side of that, though, is that people in London this year are going to get 4 home games. There are 4 games in London,
yeah,
this
that's
season.
True.
So if you were just talking about splitting your season, all you'd be doing, and again, I think it would be fantastic, but you'd be putting 4 games of the same team in London rather than 8 different teams.
I think that it all kind of goes to a 21st century, and it's, I guess, a little bit counter to what old school people, the way they think about things, but people bemoan the Chargers and that, like we talked about with John Gonzalez, go back and listen to that show, a good fun one with our pal Gonzo a couple of days ago. That people get down about, oh, the Chargers, half the stadium is visiting fans, or, you know, people who live in LA but are, you know, Chiefs people, or, you know, whatever. It seems like that the Super Bowl experience, or that experience, and the London experience is where probably all of pro football and all of sports is ultimately headed, I guess, outside of the dyed-in-the-wool loyalties that emerge from college towns and college football games. Those, I can't imagine Alabama suddenly having fans from all over the country. But right, in NFL or pro sports, isn't that going to be the model 20 years from now, that stadiums are going to be populated by fans from all over the
Why?
Country? Well, I mean, you're going to always have the majority of fans are going to be local people, but people, the more that you satellite in the games around the country and you vibe to, as people, because the younger generation vibes more to stars, to individuals, than they do right, to team brands. So then people want to see that. And then fantasy football then gives you interest in people you otherwise wouldn't care, players you otherwise wouldn't care about. So those disparate interests are going to populate the stadiums, right? London is, isn't like, the Colts are here. Great. Cause we have 40,000 Colts fans
here
today.
That's definitely the case in London, but in Pittsburgh or, you know, Pittsburgh,
well, I guess there'll be some exceptions.
Steelers fans, but even let's go with the Dolphins in Miami, which, you know, struggles sometimes to fill the stadium. I don't think, they certainly have their snowbirds, and when they're playing the Steelers in Miami, all the locals who've come down from Pittsburgh are going to show up. But I don't suddenly think there's also going to be some 49ers fans there and a handful of Cardinals fans and a bunch of Seahawks fans. That doesn't necessarily make sense to me. Whereas in London, you can walk into the stadium and within 15 minutes you can spot all 32 jerseys.
That is cool. That is really neat.
That's a
and
cool
in
thing.
Fact, you know what? Kimmel used to do a game early on his late night show called Touch the Head, and we'd shoot it from the third floor, from the roof of the building on Hollywood Boulevard. And he did it with, like, the high end of it was when he did it with Tom Cruise. And so each person would get 60 seconds to go out and touch as many heads as you could possibly touch down on the street. And so visually it was fun to watch Kimmel do it. But then when Tom Cruise was doing it, that added another layer to it, to see tourists or whoever walking around on the street like, hey, somebody just hit me. It's Tom Cruise who did that, you know, and just running around touching people on the head.
On the head, right.
Let's do that for pro football this year. If the around the NFL fellas are over there and you should do a competition. Who can touch the most who can identify the 32 jerseys most quickly?
We did it with the Gabon football guys who were there last year.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was I forgot. Yeah, that was a great idea. I missed it.
They tried to take that. I think that's part of, you know, a bit they do on their show, but like who has the weirdest or most random jersey that they're wearing. And so they tried to do the same thing and went out and found all 32, but then they were looking for the you know,
I've done that. What are you talking about? They have that.
They did a combination of the team, like all the teams, and then like what's the most random jersey of that team that they could see.
Do you have one that you'd like to tell us about now?
I mean, no.
If you could get one jersey, because you have you don't have any loyalties. I've said it before. I'll say it again now. I don't think you could do much better than getting yourself a Bengals number 79 to honor their old defensive end, Coy Bacon. Just Bacon 79. That's pretty good.
That's a good one. I would have got...
Bacon.
I would have quite liked the Bosworth Seahawks, but remember he wore 44 just for, I think for like his very first game there.
That's right, probably in the Oklahoma exhibition game. Right,
yeah, and then it's Oklahoma number, and then they banned it and he had to wear 55.
Ooh, that's a good one.
See,
all right, so did we want to talk about anything else?
I like the
here?
Buzz, by the way.
I've always heard he's a lovely guy.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, got a bad rep for you know, for his bravura back in the mid 80s at Oklahoma and his commentary to the NCAA and so on. Anyway, let's get into it now. As I said earlier, now all is prelude to the main event of today's DDFP, the 2019 NFL Wardrobe Review.
No, that's not music. Should we give him one more go? Or do you want me to play music off my computer?
Not especially.
How many different songs do you think we have on this iPad?
I don't know.
Why are you not prepared? Emma would never have let that happen.
I have 20 rundown topics, and we are doing something not even on the page.
Did you know, Handsome, that the outline was so extensive it went onto a second page?
Well done.
Hey, well, that's a great question. What have you been watching on TV lately?
Do you know what? Actually, I'm going to give, just having taken a shot at him, I'm going to give credit to Eddie. I've been watching Barry on HBO. It is fantastic.
Great. Is it? Do you have to see the whole first season? I thought that people said that the first season wasn't very good.
No, I think the first season was fantastic.
Yeah. Second was better, but first was good.
It has my favorite Hank now, more than Handsome Hank.
NoHo Hank is the best.
NoHo Hank is the funniest character on television at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
I would agree.
And you know what Spaghetti's been watching?
Slightly camp, what is he supposed to be, Serbian or Russian?
Chechen.
Chechenian gangster.
What?
Just
what show have you just wrapped up? Spaghetti at your house?
No, I'm on the last episode, the finale of Broadchurch.
Broadchurch.
Oh, good for you.
See, he listened to you.
But all three seasons.
All three. I'm on the finale of three, yeah.
I felt like
it went downhill. And
two was bad.
Two was bad. Three got better.
One was
the best.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch Bodyguard. That's another one you recommend.
What are you doing? Like, I recommended that months and months ago.
I know.
What have you been doing with yourself?
I'm backlogged. I got the Game of Thrones. I have four children, and I just am about to consume the climactic episode, Chernobyl. Have you watched that?
I have watched it.
Oh, what a show, right?
What a show.
I mean, it's horrific.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's...
It's also,
Marvelous five episodes.
It looks fantastic, but at the same time, it's like, this is a true story, and I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it two nights in a row because it was too much for me.
It is
some comedy in between.
That is right. And you know, if you're coming off of, you know, a month or 2 months ago of watching the fight against the dead in Game of Thrones, and oh, that was so intense for a while there. This is so much worse.
And it's real. There's no dragons or anything else. This is like you're going in there.
I cannot believe, legitimately cannot believe what I had no idea that that's what it did to your body. Did you have any?
No, I had no
idea.
It's
like something out of a sci-fi.
Yeah. Like there are immediately lesions appearing all over your body.
Right. It consistently plays like some post-apocalyptic thing. And I guess that's why people call it post-apocalyptic. I didn't know it was rooted so firmly in fact.
Right.
I didn't know that if you flew a helicopter,
it would melt down the helicopter.
It just breaks the helicopter immediately if you fly it over over radiation.
I'll tell you,
it just burns through whatever, or burns through. I don't know what it does,
but it definitely broke the helicopter.
And what it does to the human body.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I mean, really? Again, like something out of the out of X-Men.
And you know what? Then
what
I didn't. So there's all of that stuff. There's people like blood coming out of their eyes and stuff like that. What I don't
much need, worse than that.
Much worse than that. But what I don't need on top of that is a subplot, which isn't really related to the whole thing, where these guys just go around this town.
Don't tell what it is. But how about pets. That? How about
shooting
that?
Pets? Because they might be. Don't think it was really ever explained why they have to kill all the pets.
That's why
they were radioactive as well.
Right. Yeah, that's like, why.
So these guys are these soldiers are assigned to go.
I mean, was that heavy or
pets.
What?
It's like, what the heck? This is hard enough.
How about that
already?
But the storytelling within all that grotesquery.
Yeah.
That they made the guy. I mean, I'm too lazy to research whether or not that's rooted in some human being.
You but haven't watched the last one.
No, but the big guy who's the heart of gold.
Who was in
tough
drunk
guy. The giant guy? No. Oh, I'm talking about the guy who is going around doing the shooting of the pet.
Yes, sorry, yes.
That guy is, I mean, what a character that was.
Yes.
I mean, what a complex guy, and he basically, you know him for 40 minutes of his existence. And I just thought that was so heavy. So
he was also in Game of Thrones as well.
That guy was?
Yeah, the guy you mean the like young baby faced guy?
No, I'm talking about the big guy.
The baby faced guy was.
Not the baby face. The baby face didn't say anything. Anyway, go watch Chernobyl. It's heavy though. Not gonna be light viewing to put you to bed.
No, I wanna watch it. I hate that I'm behind in shows. I'm usually like ahead of that, but bad job by me.
You ready for the uniform review?
Let's review the uniform.
First question for you, Handsome Hank, because this kind of establishes from the word go where you're going to come down on these. What's your favorite color?
Green.
Green?
Yep.
Green. People don't
green
say
is my
green.
Favorite color. This is see this water bottle? Mm-hmm. The reason I have it is it's green.
I feel bad for green because while I understand...
It's the best color.
I understand that the primary colors... Well, first of all, green... is applied to so many emotions, more than other emotions. Red is mad. Blue is you're down
blue.
In the dumps. But if you're green, you're also you're envious.
You're
right?
New. Oh, he's a bit
you're
green.
You're new, and you're also lusty. You know, that's what people say.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that
ooh,
not
I'm
a,
feeling green. I've never heard that.
No, but it represents... Isn't that right?
Queasiness?
Oh yeah, also the queasiness.
I don't think lusty. I think you maybe.
Anywho, and I understand the primary colors are blue, yellow, and red, but and so properly green isn't one of the primary colors. But I feel like they should add it in. It's kind of like the Ringo, the most disrespected of the four, right. Because any toy you buy. For your little one, is going to include green. And yet everybody ignores it.
It's also the color of nature. Like, Mother Nature came up and said, I could have chosen any of these colors.
Right.
What shall I make all the things that I'm going to make? I'll go with green. I like green.
Yeah.
Like, if Mother Nature's favorite color is green, then who am I to argue? But that's a specific type of green as well.
But Father Time, I think, likes blue.
Yes.
Right?
Or black. Or gray, actually.
Maybe.
As you should know.
I don't know why the repeated shots about my I have a little gray in my beard.
Yeah, that's because you cover up the gray everywhere else.
I could have anything
with the just for men.
I don't know who you're confusing me with, but I have some ideas. But anyway, the temples. I wish I had gray temples. I would love to have that look.
In that case, stop using just for men. One all in one wash, and you'll be fine.
I mean the inconsistency, spaghetti. That I'm somebody who admits publicly that I fill in my flesh yarmulke with the dust, whatever it's called. I pour it into my bald spot to mask that for the world. But I would concede that, but I wouldn't tell you that I dye my hair. Makes no sense. And why, if I were doing it, why wouldn't I dye my beard?
I don't know. I've asked you these questions.
What a creep. Spaghetti, your favorite color before we proceed
it's
here?
It's red.
Red?
Yeah. Red.
I think that says weird things about people.
I don't
like
people who like red. I'm always suspicious.
Red, orange, purple. That's like my trio.
Isn't that a weird thing? But that's right. If you like red, there's something maniacal or something
also,
about
you. How does that manifest itself? Because you can't, I will then... You know, I'm more like to gravitate to green things, but people wearing red things, like, what are you wearing that red thing for?
That's also true, right? Yeah. I think that, or is it the reverse of what I'm getting at? You're not maniacal. I need to be settled down a little bit. I feel like in my soul, I need something to relax me. And blue, although then again, my favorite color is orange, so that doesn't work.
Orange is a good color.
Orange and black. Well, now let's take it to that level. Best color scheme for a team, spaghetti. Don't remove your allegiances. Obviously, I like black and gold teams, but I think the best scheme is black and orange.
Black and purple, like the Ravens. I think that looks really good. I think it's really good.
Black and purple.
That's like the 28th best color scheme in the NFL.
No, I know that I admire that they reached a little bit, that they didn't just settle on blue and red and add to what is already saturated in pro football, a color scheme.
I think that, like,
but still black.
The gold makes it look weird, but like, who has like TCU or like Northwestern? They've done like alternates. I like, if it looks clean, it's a clean look. I think it's really, really nice. I like the modern stuff. I think you're more of like skewed towards like old school jerseys, but I like the modern.
I do
because the modern and stuff. It's good.
It's because they the old school styling, the striping and everything complements a foe. The modern uniforms might look good in a vacuum, but when you put them on a field against somebody else, it is too jarring to my eyeballs. I don't like it. The Bungles look too jarring. No matter who they're playing, the whole game's thrown out of whack for me. I don't like that. It's selfish. It's like the Jaguars' old melted chocolate helmets that they wore, the half and half, the melted Rolo candy, because it's selfish. Now, like, what? Well, yeah, you're not the only one on the field. You're not complimenting your foes. Handsome.
The best
color scheme.
I like blue and white. I think that's pretty simple, but I prefer the Colts blue and white interpretation to a Giants blue and white interpretation. Sorry, Eddie. But if it was any color scheme that I could have, I would go, and this is why I'm so furious and continue to be so furious with the Philadelphia Eagles, I would go with a green, and I want to be clear. My favorite green is a vibrant green, not a dark.
The 1960 Eagles green.
Green and silver.
Well.
You put green and silver together, and that is that. I'll drop my pants for that.
The Randall Cunningham, Reggie White, Eagles wore exactly Kelly
exactly.
Green silver pants. Yeah.
And then the silver wings across the helmet, right. You're flying.
You saw the Washington Federals use that color scheme.
I don't know who they are.
Old USFL team.
Oh, okay.
The best uniforms from the U.S. There are so many good uniforms in the USFL. Go dig up the Memphis Showboats next time you get a chance, too. How about that? Reggie White wore those ones, too.
I'll tell you, my
favorite. Red, silver, very Ohio State, but a little sharp.
I'm sure I've shared this with you before, Dave, but it was a team in the World League of American Football, which preceded NFL Europe, called the Orlando Thunder, who appear to have got like a whole packet of highlighters and filled themselves with that. It's too much.
I don't mind
it,
though.
That's when you go too far.
Not to seem like an old guy, because I'm not an old curmudgeon, Spaghetti. I'm open-minded and open-eyeballed about it. I like that the Seattle Seahawks have as trim the neon green. You just can't overuse it. I like that kind of, it belongs to the Pacific Northwest as a whole now, that Oregon wears that.
Yeah.
They inject some of that. The teal is close that the Mariners
wear. Scott Mitchell took it too far.
It's not good. Too much of a good thing.
I can give you a good color scheme from a throwback uniform would be the Houston Oilers. The light blue,
light
sky
blue
with the red and the white is probably the best. My Titans wore those for a few seasons, those throwbacks. Remember, like, my friends had like a Chris Johnson jersey in that color scheme. That's very, very good.
Well, that was one of those funny oxymorons too that happens when franchises move from one city and they don't modify the name. Like, the, you know, the most famous is the Lakers in Los Angeles, where there are no lakes, and
the Utah Jazz
where there's no jazz, the Oilers moved from Houston, where that made sense, to Tennessee, and they stayed the Tennessee Oilers for at least 1 year.
Yeah.
The Tennessee
Oilers. No oil there.
Yeah, that was very strange. Here to the here and now, though, handsome.
Yes.
Who do you think is the most handsome of the human-based mascots? Not like the Steelers and Packers don't have a representation of what the guy looks like, the Steeler or the Packers.
The Steelers have Steely McBean.
No, I don't mean like a guy in a costume.
Who looks a lot like you.
No, Steely. No, no, no. As I've said many times before, Steely McBeam actually looks like Adam Carolla, jaundiced.
A little bit, yeah.
but of the existing ones, handsome, here are your nominees.
Okay.
The Raiders.
Yep.
Who I always.
Rugged.
No, I always compliment him because he's, you know, he's a pirate. That's what a Raider is, right? He's going out as always, you know, and you know he's no stranger to to some tough times. He lost an eyeball after.
Right.
He's got an eye patch, you know.
Yep.
Unless that was a birth defect, we can assume that happened in battle somewhere when he was out pillaging. But before he goes out for his day of ne'er-do-welling, he always respects himself and the people he's going to interact with enough that he says, first, I need a nice clean shave. And I like that.
I like that about
And you feel like he's kind of amused. He's a little Mona Lisa, isn't he? You know? He's not exactly smiling if you give him a good look.
Here, I'm going to pull him up just so I can...
His eye will follow you everywhere in the room.
That's right.
Or you have the Minnesota Viking, flaxen-haired, ponytailed. No, not but is that a ponytail? A braided hair, I should say.
Yeah, braided hair.
Braided blonde hair and a blonde Fu Manchu, kind of... Biker aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't feel like the Raider. I feel like I would get on pretty well with
you
him.
Would.
I don't, this guy looks angry. The Vikings guy, his face is set. He's looking cross about something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And he's trying to look tough, but does he go too far?
Yeah, you know? He goes too far.
We haven't even started the game yet.
He doesn't seem approachable.
Yeah. Yeah, but and yet he's got that pretty hair.
So he does have pretty hair.
He's a paradox.
He also has a lot of eyebrow.
Spaghetti.
The old Buccaneers logo guy is cool.
That's my writing.
He's cool.
He's a dude. Like that's a guy that I would want to hang out.
You do. Got a flair.
He's got the hat.
I might want to get drunk with him in a Parisian bar, but I don't know if he's...
He also, it feels like a little bit, because he doesn't wear an eye patch but is winking at you, it feels like he may be having a little bit of a go at the Raiders guy. Like, hey, one eye, what's going on there?
Oh, I didn't, but no wonder they won that Super Bowl.
Right.
No wonder. We got you. We got your number.
Yeah. So I like him a lot.
My pick would be
Rich Gannon.
Vikings, though, is my pick. Because it just reminds me of like a Chris Hemsworth Thor type looking guy. Like the giant blonde dude with like
So we're voting Buccaneer Bruce over the guy who replaced them. Well, he's just a skull anyway. So he doesn't. Yeah, the skull doesn't count. And then I guess we should leave the Redskin alone.
Yes. Right.
Let's just leave him out. And then do you like Pat Patriot? That as I've said before, and I'll say again now, Pat Patriot looks remarkably, if you look at them for a little while, you'll get that brain meld thing happening to you. The Pat Patriot looks like Bill Belichick, and Flying Elvis looks like Tom Brady.
Huh.
Dig that.
You're right.
Drink that in.
He does look a little bit like Bill Belichick if you really stare at him.
So your number one is Buccaneer Bruce.
Buccaneer Bruce is easily my number one.
Wink.
Yep.
I like
that. He just seems like a fun guy to hang out with. I think I would go with the Raider 2.
Let's assume that these are people who, you know, live in 21st century America. Because obviously most of these guys, if not all of them, would stick you, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
They'd cut you right quick.
Pat Patriot has put his weapon down and is like, hey, anyone want to play a game of ball?
What guy at the bar do you want to watch the game with? You know, that's the thing.
Definitely Bruce.
Bruce?
Yeah.
I think he'd have a lot of questions. Why is that a rule? What's that rule?
I think Bruce has been pre-gaming. Let's be honest. I think you get to the bar, Bruce is already like 6 or 7 drinks down.
Oh, yeah. He had late one night. Yeah. He didn't go to bed last night. His friend bet him that he wouldn't get a hoop earring. He's like, exactly. I'll prove you wrong. Pay up the $20, bro.
Right.
We might have missed, I don't know if you're going to count mascots, but there's Rowdy from the Cowboys and Sourdough Sam of the 49ers.
Sourdough Sam. Yeah. That definitely sounds like a too late to the party. Oh, yeah, we came up with one. Sourdough.
It is considered the official mascot of the 49ers.
That's mascots, though. That's a little bit of a different thing.
Okay, so now let's – is it too gargantuan a task to – you know what? We can't do all 32. That would take
us – Dave, you said
– That would take us too long.
Yeah.
Let's do – the bottom five and the top five. Ready?
Uniforms.
Here we go. Yes, that's correct. Let's get into it here and now. Let me dig up all the teams so I make sure I don't forget any. Who do you think? That's a test I've asked before. How do you think I would fare, Handsome, among, you know, what's a good question about NFL talent? How do you think this would work out? And don't just do it with NFL media. Mm-hmm. Do it with all people who talk about football professionally. How do you think I would fare if you did a sort of tree, like, you know, how you get your, if you do the 21 and 23 and me or whatever thing and find out your family tree. If you did a tree like that, NFL, then break that off into the two conferences. And then from the two conferences, the four divisions. From the four divisions, the teams within those divisions. Now list as many players as you can name on all of those teams. On down. Then give me meaningful stats on those guys. Now give me historical guys from those. Who do you think would win that?
I think Elliot Harrison would win.
I think he would do well. I think he would do very well. I think Chris Wessling would do pretty well, but he can't go back past like early 80s or mid 80s.
Yep.
How many people do you think would fail? How many people couldn't do the divisions? I've met some people along the way in various outlets.
Worked in this building who would not be able to get. You're talking about basics. They wouldn't necessarily know which teams are in the AFC and which are in the NFC.
I really think it'd be that dark.
Yes.
Wow.
I currently have a bet running with my son. He thinks the Browns are going to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I bet him $50,000. He's like, really?
So mean, but that's
$50,000. And I'm like, well, you're going to learn.
That's the only way he's ever going to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
He's like, I think they're going to be the two best teams. I was like, I think you may well be right, but I guarantee, I'll bet you $50,000 they won't play in the Super Bowl.
All right. The worst uniform in... Let's get our group here together. The worst uniforms in contention.
Let's just throw some names out now.
All right, let's get them down here.
Bucks.
The Bucks.
Ravens.
The Ravens.
Bengals. Browns. And I'm not saying those people who assume cynically that I'm doing that because they're the Steelers division mates.
Those are three pretty
you
bad
must
ones.
Admit that those are three bad uniforms. Well, spaghetti.
I'm the same. No, I agree with you. I have them written down.
You do? Yeah, I thought you just said you like purple and black.
The Ravens, I like purple and black color scheme. The Ravens overall, it's a middle of the road.
Good for you. I like black and orange, but I don't like what the Bengals have done with that rich opportunity. But I will say the Ravens really did wildly improve their getup when they added the purple pants last year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The purple pants has, I think it knocks them out of the bottom five, as a matter of fact. Packers, Vikings, Lions, Bears, Texans.
You put Bucks on there?
I'm just going through. Texans belong on there because they're in need of an update. There couldn't be a more vanilla outfit in the NFL.
I like it.
You like the Texans?
It's fine. Yeah. But they're not going to change it because they need the colors from the flag of Texas.
Three of the four NFC East teams are bad.
Okay, you know what? That's a different category. So Bucks, I think also most in need of a uniform update. Who's most in need of one? Based on what we know about what's in their closet to some degree, the Seahawks could just go back to 1976 and
I think the Dolphins are heading that way.
It certainly looks that way.
I don't
right?
dislike the Dolphins one, but then when they throw on their throwbacks, I agree. It's a different world.
You assume color scheme remains the same, that's basically the measure. You can't, obviously can't blow things up and just throw new colors into them. The Jags, I think, have salvaged the bad hand that they dealt themselves.
Yep.
They didn't have to go with those colors.
I think the Panthers are working with good colors, but given that they, that was a, 1995 team, I don't think they've really updated.
Too much silver. If they had, it's too much, as I've said a million times, if you ask any NFL player, what should happen with your uniform? Oh, I'd love to go head to toe black. Yeah. Every single guy says that if you ask them about that. So setting that aside, I do think the Panthers, if they had a black hat, that would look better. Yeah. That would make better sense. Too much silver. That's a sprinkle it in color, an accent color. It shouldn't be. The blue should be minimized. The black should prevail in those uniforms.
The Falcons as well.
Falcons.
The Falcons looked fantastic. I don't know. I was watching something the other day of them in the 80s wearing their red and white get-ups, and it looked fantastic. And then Jerry Glanville, who I love for many, many reasons, but I don't like for what he came in and did in Atlanta and did put them in all black. And then since then, they've been struggling. It's like, why would you just not put that behind you and go back to what was working?
It's so
true.
The
red and white stripes and
the color rush.
Fantastic.
Go dig up one of the great football games you'll ever see is the 1980 divisional round game when the Cowboys with Danny White, the first year that Roger Staubach, after his retirement, the Falcons had a special year. They had the Grits Blitz with Jerry Glanville, and they were really a good team. And people thought they might be going to the Super Bowl. It would have been a dynamite NFC title game had it been Falcons at Eagles. It would have been what you got instead. Danny White threw two fourth quarter touchdown passes to Drew Pearson, who, as a side note, inexplicably remains outside the Hall of Fame while Bob Greasy is still in there.
Always Greasy.
Because you know that's true. The red hats, the red jerseys, the gray pants.
They had great white stripes on the sleeves that looked good.
That might be my number one.
The Saints Falcons color rush, the white with the gold trim black versus the Falcons with the red uniforms was, I think, one of the better matches.
That's fine. Color rush, I just say no to that.
The Saints should definitely update their uniforms by going back to the future. That's they need to.
I mean, the overall argument is that you tell me which team wouldn't look better wearing the uniform they're wearing in, I'm going to pick a year, 1987.
I know. Well, that's always.
There isn't a single team that wouldn't be better off.
It is definitely hard to separate your nostalgic sense from your aesthetic sense when it comes to uniforms.
But even with that, I think that's still my aesthetic sense is correct.
Well,
when
you were growing up, the satin finish on pants was everywhere outside of.
I'm talking about the color schemes.
Right.
Certainly you update the.
I think a lot of people would say the old Giants uniforms are better than their currents, but that's wrong. They are not better.
They look too much like the Bills.
Yeah, the LT uniforms were not good.
Helmets were better.
The red and white stripes in the sleeves. The helmet that says Giants underlined with the red and white stripe is cool, but I like the old
one. So would you go Buccaneers are the team that should go back to the old? I see, because to me, Seahawks should really go back to their silver getups. Those were nice with the royal blue jersey. I think I would ultimately go. I'm with you, though, Handsome. I think if you could do anything, the Chargers have gone to the powder blue. It's still not exactly right. The other team is the Broncos. People always say those are bad uniforms. That's based on the difference between that's the way to measure this is the uniform they're wearing versus what they could be wearing. The Broncos have
a
gargantuan gap there. Yep. Why they continue to wear that getup, which is so 90s.
Right.
That logo and everything, when you've got a few great options in your past.
I like the color rush orange too, with the navy blue helmet. With the D, with the horse.
Yeah, that ain't bad. That
versus the Chargers is also a really good matchup.
How are we coming down on the Jets? Did you like the white hats or do you like this new look?
I prefer the new look, but it's still not as good as it was in 1987.
I know. Why?
That's the green. That's the green I'm talking about. Because no one will go to a vibrant green. They're all like, okay, let's make it flat.
Yeah.
It's darker and flatter.
What they need to do is get rid of the black face mask, as I've told the Vikings as well. Get rid of the black face mask. What do you think that does for you? Do you think that makes you more intimidating? It's weird looking. Get the nice white face mask. So, all right. Our teams most in need of a uniform update? Falcons, I'm going to go number one. Broncos, number two. And Seahawks, number three. Does that sound good to you?
Most in need. I don't think the Seahawks are.
No.
Okay. I don't agree with that.
Texans,
I mean, I like the old Seahawks one.
Bengals. Bengals need to go back.
Hold on.
Sometimes less is more. The orange hat that just said Bengals.
What did you
Bengals
say? Sorry, Falcons.
Should
who?
Be updated. These are teams that need uniform updates. I
hate
think.
The Cowboys wearing white at home because it's a boring jersey with the weird gray pants.
No. That's the opposite. I don't remember if it was... if it was Gil Brandt who did this or who made that call, or Tex Schramm, I feel like it was either Brandt or Schramm. I think it was Schramm who way back when said it's weird that the home team wears the color jersey because every team that comes to play us is just wearing white and it's hard to really distinguish one team from the other to some degree. Why not let our home fans see the full rainbow of colors that our foes are wearing? And that's how the Cowboys started doing that. Hockey started doing that as a rule. My whole childhood, the home team always wore the white jerseys. And that was a better way, as a matter of fact. But now I've come to accept that the home team, you know, it's nice to see the Steelers run out in all black. I would hate if they wore their white jerseys at home, but I do get the spirit of what the Cowboys did.
Basketball does white at home too, but I think the different color pants is weird. And I think the Cowboys navy blue jerseys are the ones they wear on like Thanksgiving. Those are awesome. If they wore those more, I think
you
got to
dig up and look at the Super Bowl V era jerseys, the royal blue. Now those are dynamite.
Sure. Better than just wearing white.
They should definitely go back to wearing those uniforms. Boy, we could really go on and on with that. All right, let's get to it then, Handsome. Let's do. Here are candidates for the best. What? How many do we do here, Spaghetti? 5, 10, win, play, show.
We're still a little bit less than an hour in, so you can do what you want.
Let's go 5. Let's go 5.
Let's go 5. Yeah, that's a better cut. But then, because then people get angry, okay. And this allows for more anger. By the way, too, the other one that is a sneaky good option for a team that needs to get back and youth. Why they look the same as they always have? Au contraire, the Cardinals. The Cardinals used to have literally no stripes on their red jerseys, their dark red jerseys.
Yep.
Other than the uniform number.
And that was great.
It was glorious. Yep. Home or away, the all-whites that they used to wear, and then at home, the red jersey with no stripes on it. Heaven. They need to start wearing those again.
Kelly Stauffer behind center, and we're off.
I'm thinking more O.J. Anderson before he became Otis Anderson mid-career when he went to the Giants.
Okay, let's just throw out the teams that we think, by division, the teams that we think.
And are we going to count the Dolphins as having... We're going standard uniform. We're not going with once in a blue moon.
Yeah, it's their day-to-day
unless
uniform.
You want to do alt uniforms, then I would say...
Let's not, because otherwise we'll...
Okay.
We're making exceptions for people that don't deserve it. If you've decided not to make that your full-time jersey, then clearly you've decided that your other one is better.
You're right, and I'll tell you this. The Skins have taken themselves out of consideration because I don't think they wore the gold pants even once last year. Shame the devil. The gold pants with the burgundy and burgundy, or the white jersey and burgundy is heaven, but... You know what? You don't want to wear it.
The NFC has a lot of problems with uniforms.
Self-imposed. Self-imposed. Potentially
the
great.
The Giants have some issues too, but not as bad as the three.
Exactly. If you're talking about the teams that most need, I'd put the Eagles on there just so that they can go back to what we were discussing earlier on.
Right. So the Eagles are out. Cowboys are to me, the most overrated uniforms. Yep. The pants don't. They changed the pants. Home in a way, but they're both silvery blue or whatever you call it, or sea foam or whatever. It's very strange looking, and it's not as good as what their predecessors wore. You're out of consideration. Bills?
The Bills are in consideration. Sure.
Okay, Bills are in consideration. The Dolphins are not because they have not made the commitment.
When they make that change, which has to happen soon, then they'll be in. The Colts, I'm going to put them on the list.
Colts, fair. What about the Steelers?
The Steelers are on the list. At least for consideration.
I don't know why you have to put that proviso in there.
The Chargers based on... You know what?
No. I forbid the Chargers.
What?
I forbid it. Everybody gets one block here. All right? Everybody gets the block one.
And hold on. Eddie and I could both outvote you.
Why you I don't think so. I think everybody gets to vote out one.
Mask.
It's not right. They don't have the black numbers on the side of the hat. The navy trim is lousy.
But again, you can't say
the weird rectangle thing that they have on the side of their pants that houses the lightning bolt, which is there to replace the traditional line, the pant stripe. You don't need pant stripe to border the lightning bolt. The lightning bolt is the pant stripe. What are you doing? It's redundant. And also the navy trim, like I already said. No,
I mean,
it's
the
out.
AFC West.
When they want to get rid of the... You know, I'm glad you brought up the AFC West.
Because they've got three of the best. Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders should all be on the list.
Raiders.
And Chargers.
Rams. Oh, Niners, yes, right?
Niners are on. The Rams, until they go full-time, they can't.
They
will be.
Or are those their full-times now?
No.
No, the blue and yellow?
No.
No,
they're still going to wear that weird
when they
TJ Maxx
move
uniform?
Their new stadium.
Yeah.
They're gonna,
it's one more year with the current.
Oh, no. Those are, as I say, those are those uniforms when they wear the gold and it looks like a little boy said to his mom, I want to be a football man for Halloween, and she went to TJ Maxx and cobbled that together. That's what the current Rams getup looks like. It looks like these disparate parts jammed together. All right, We
Bears,
have.
I'd like to put the Bears on the list.
All right. Spaghetti, do you agree with me that we should void? I'm not going to put the Chargers down.
I think if you just asked, you polled a random group of NFL fans across the country, you said, what's your favorite overall team uniforms or which jersey would you want the most other than yourself? Most people would say the Chargers.
If you ask the masses about anything, the masses made Big Bang Theory television's most popular half hour.
What are we talking about? If anyone has a problem within earshot of this that like the Chargers should be on the list, then just address your complaints.
Creed is more popular than Pavement. I mean, like the group thinking something like that on this level doesn't make any sense. There's some other national polls that I might not agree with either.
Okay. So how are we doing?
Do we have to put the Packers down?
I'd like to put the Packers down.
The Packers, here's the thing that ails those get-ups. If you look up when their 60s get-ups, they're a little fussy now. They have this unnecessarily ornate collar now that their forefathers didn't wear. It's got the yellow and white and yellow, and it's like, you don't need that. So you're the Packers, man. Less is more with you.
Yeah. You're going to block
and
them
also,
as well.
And I also, the green face mask is okay, but the gray kind of looks good. I guess you keep the green face mask. I'll put the Packers down. So we now have basically half the NFL, and I have not included the Chargers. They're not going to make it anyway.
Fine, I'm going to block the Steelers then.
You're doing that out of spite, and I don't care for that move. That I don't care for. So do we have everybody that...
We've been through the AFC North, the AFC East, the South,
Spaghetti, your number one uniform.
My number is, and this has to be home or away, no alternates at all, nothing like that. Are we going to let those slide?
It's tough.
Because that changes everything for me.
Okay, go ahead.
We're not doing alternates.
Okay, no alternates?
No alts.
If I had to wear one uniform.
No, you had to wear.
No,
when did that happen?
That's how he's going to judge it.
Remember, he's a thicker gentleman, so he may, they may, you know, my it, number how's being, he going to look?
You should be in the 60s.
It'd be 50s, 60s, or 70s, maybe 90s. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Number one.
I think when you think about the overall uniform.
Loves red, though. This all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs' overall uniform, I think, is my favorite, I think.
I like
socks,
the red pants. They can be versatile enough to go white on white with the red hats.
Solid red helmet, white face mask.
They do a nice job, and I noticed the league over has done a better job of when their foe is wearing white pants, then they wear their color option below. Or when they want to jazz, or when they want to mute themselves a little bit, they'll go white on white. I like the Chiefs. They're the most underrated and one of the most untouched get-ups in 50 years.
Right.
They look essentially the same.
Their white jersey is the best. They don't have the best home red jersey, but the whole full uniform is what makes it better than the rest of the NFL.
Yeah, I don't love the home get-ups. That's what hurts them. But on the road, that might be the number one. I also like the Giants on the road quite a bit when they go with the gray pants with the white and the red pops for me. Mm-hmm. Yes. Handsome, do you want to deliver your... So we got Spaghetti giving a big vote to the Chiefs here. What's your... Okay, go through your win play show, and from that we should be able to divine our collective top five.
My number two would be... this is tough.
Actually, so your favorite is the Road Chiefs, is what you're saying. Okay.
See, the no alternates really hurt, because I'm a big alternates guy. What else I'd play next? Then I'm gonna go Raiders overall. I'll do the home blacks with those silver, and then to round it out, man. What are we considering? The Chargers home now is not the navy blue. They switched to the lighter blue.
You can vote on it, even though I've blocked it. No, go ahead.
But that's a good thing. So then, because if it counts as the home with the lighter blue, I think the Chargers. So I'm picking literally three AFC West teams.
That's what I was saying. The AFC West is the best uniform division.
Handsome, your win play show. You can do them in reverse for dramatic effect if you would like.
I will do. In third place, the Chiefs.
Great. Home or away? Or you're going collective?
Collective, but I like the red.
Okay.
Second place, the Chargers.
Okay.
First place, the Colts.
Whoa, this is a crazy one.
Yeah, it was a curveball.
See, when you vote on it like this, this is what gets it out of whack here.
Johnny Unitas wearing number 19 with the blue the away that would be, right, for them?
The blue jersey?
The blue jersey with the white hoops hoops on the shoulders.
Hoops.
Do you
like
blue
that.
And blue? Like the pants now that they wore that?
No, that's no good.
That's ridiculous.
I think the Colts are so boring, though.
No, glorious. They're heavenly. In football, less can be more.
No, I like. See, I'm a big alternates. My list is totally.
We get it. You love color rush. You're like you're like a kid who just wants. Give me more color rush.
At number three, show.
Right
on the show stand
for you,
the San Francisco 49ers. You can go home or away. Those are sharp looking. They're a tip of the hat to their past. Enhanced ever so slightly, although I do hear that they're considering, I think they are in fact trying to update them, which is a terrible idea. Those are glorious as is. The flat finish on the pants is grand. The gray face mask, there is no if you look at their home and away jerseys, there is zero gold in the jersey.
Yep.
It's just white striping or red striping. And
they let the hat do the work for them.
I love those.
You don't need to put the gold there.
And a big factor for me, too, is in uniform review, as I said earlier, is does that uniform inherently complement who's ever across from them? The Colts obviously does that. The Niners does that with few exceptions. I love the Chiefs road get-ups, but I don't like the red jerseys at home as much. So they're at number four. At number two, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are the set. Well, you smirk like that's a crazy opinion because I like the Steelers. You think that's not a great uniform, Spaghetti? I'd love
it's
to hear you
denigrate. It's not a top three uniform.
I'd love to hear you denigrate.
It's probably a top five uniform.
Denigrate.
Yeah. It's probably a top five uniform.
What's not good about the Steelers uniform?
It's not as good as the three
okay,
that I
but
placed
not,
ahead of it.
You can't indict
I'm not saying
it.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Here's the thing with the – now – here's what I would.
There's a little bit too much. If you want me to tell you one thing, the sleeve where you've got the big yellow bit, it's just too big.
It's a thick, yeah.
It's too thick, and then the white stripes are too thin. There's too much happening there.
Can I say what I do
you
like
about it? You're talking
about
being simple. There's too much going on in the sleeve area.
I got you, but it's got to pick up the gold pants, and so that's what it's doing.
The alternate, the one with the yellow numbers and name, that one is better. I do like the home black. I like the shape of the numbers on the jersey.
Yes.
That makes sense. I like the weird curvature. It's a round number. I think those are
I'm really fine cool. with that. Old school Steelers fans will tell you that they like the block numbers because obviously that's when the Steelers won those four Super Bowl, so people pine for that. I think as far as not just as a tip of the hat to that era, but the two things that I would do if I were the Steelers, black shoes, that speaks to the mentality, to the profile of what the Steelers are supposed to be, rugged and, you know, blue collar. I think black shoes says that better. And I think your name is Steelers. Your face mask should be the color of steel, gray. Make it a gray face mask like it was when you won your first two Super Bowls. I do think that the best helmet in the NFL is the Steelers because it has the logo only on the one side. To me, it is a middle finger to the television age that they were like, yeah, okay, but you now that we're all on TV and when we do the profile shot of the two teams that are playing in this game, half the time when we show your helmet, it's just a black helmet. Can you put the logo on? And the Steelers said no.
Well, you know why they did it? They're saving money. We don't have to print up another 50 stickers.
Can you name what those symbols are called?
I used to be Vectrons or something.
Hypercycloids.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's your number two, and your number one is obviously the best uniform in all of sports, the Oakland Raiders. Can't beat that. No white in the home uniform. That's crazy. Just all silver and black, except for the little white trim inside the logo on the hats there. That's your number one, and so collectively,
we made no decision.
The AFC West dominated, though.
Well, apart from Dave inexplicably blocked one of them.
I know, yeah. Well, that was it. Was that satisfying, handsome, or was that a little dull?
No, it was good. I'm glad we worked it out. I think what we should do is let the listeners choose whose
list
was
correct. I like that.
And then
that's very part of my take.
Social media.
To say, like, here's our three.
Yeah, we're not saying any of us are right, apart from Dave, who always thinks he's right.
This is one of my passions in life. I think I know. I've studied it deeply.
Okay, but imagine that other people could have different opinions and invite them to share them with us.
I know. People have opinions on lots of stuff. I'm not against you having opinions. Right. I just wish you would listen to someone who knows a little bit better. I do think that, as I said, I think the Giants are denigrated too much. They're the most underrated, or the Chiefs are, and the most overrated are the Cowboys. That's my final statement. All right, there you have it. Yeah, let us know, Czech Republic. How do you feel about that? Or Handsome Devils. Ooh, we don't have a spaghetti. Ooh, what's his fan base? We gave up on that a long
time.
I was going to say the noodles, but...
the meatballs. That's fine with that.
The meatballs it is. But whoopsie, that is still subject to change.
The whoopsie is happening.
The whoopsie is subject to change. Coming. Would you tell Commish Goodell that when you see him? Like, hey, we had a discussion.
We had a discussion, and we think that because everyone's confused about there being two safeties on the field, can we go with whoopsie?
Yes, but of course, make sure it's clear before you get in. I am not suggesting you change the name of the official guy. Symbol.
Yeah, no. Well, I'll also be clear, it's not the name of the position safety. We don't want to change that to whoopsie. That would be bad. But the play that results in a whoopsie.
Okay, but I'm glad we did a lot of good work here. We figured out why it's called a down. Look what we've done. I said we would not go an hour today, Spaghetti. Was I right or wrong?
I'm going to guess 1 hour, 7 minutes.
I'm going to guess. Oh, well, you're looking at a clock.
I'm not. That was it off the top of my head.
That felt like 57 minutes.
No.
What is it?
It's way over.
How much?
Right now, we're almost at an hour 15.
That's outrageous. That's
shame. Turn it off.
Who's
Turn
responsible
off,
for that? All right. So, good job, Eddie Spaghetti. Good job, Handsome Hank. Ooh, and as we do periodically to test whether or not people are still hanging around, here's one more request to drop us a line about. We've been talking about it, just, throwing it around, because it's a good measure for what you think of a player is, well, what if you put another guy into his position? Another, let's say it's quarterbacks. Like, what if you traded Russell Wilson and put him on the Patriots with that, for the last 5 years? Well, how many Super Bowls would they have? I want to do that, but I also want to do it across the generations. So drop us a line and let us know ones that you would like us to tackle. Like we said last week, Roger Staubach from 1976 for Tom Brady 2007. And how would those two teams be if you swap QBs? Dan Marino, as we've talked about, putting him on the Niners in the early 90s Niners. Would that have flipped history? Would the Cowboys be a minor consideration and the Niners would have ruled the NFC for at least a decade had Dan Marino been in there? Running backs, receivers, otherwise, drop us a line. I think that'll be a fun thing for us to do in the coming weeks here. We'll see if we get any feedback on that. In the meantime, final thoughts, Spaghetti, you're all done?
I would give Hank a little thick cast update, but we have run pretty long here.
We've run pretty long. Yeah. I actually am also incredibly hungry, so I'd like to leave the room.
Ah, perfect. That's like a thick cast in a way. In lieu of a thick cast, it's nice to hear that the thick guys are perpetually hungry. Handsome Hank, you go eat, and we'll let you, the listener, go, but drop us a line with all those important issues that we've discussed over the last hour plus. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you next week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.